In recent years, the Army Reserves has provided important sustainment to the long ground wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and many other Army missions. Now the reserves are focused on what's ahead. Lieutenant General Jeffrey Talley is commander of the Army Reserve, standing by with Tom Temin at the Association of the U.S. Army Convention in Washington. Tom?
Thank you, Francis, and General Talley, great to have you on.
Great, Tom. It's nice to be on your show.
All right, so give us an overview of what's going on in the reserves. I mean, people don't see them as much as they see the active duty Army because after their training, they kind of melt away into the economy and then regather again. So what are the issues you're facing as we get into fiscal 2016?
Well, I think the issue that's facing the entire Army is readiness. How do we generate readiness for the right value for the taxpayer? And for your Army Reserve soldier, most of the time they're in the private sector, as you alluded to, being great leaders in private sector and leaders in their community. But then when they come on active duty, we have to make sure they're ready as soldiers. And the real challenge we're having right now is we don't have enough resourcing to provide them in order to get them that extra level training they need to be great soldiers in our Army.
What are the components of those resources that you need? What do you need to buy that would keep the reserve at the top level of readiness?
So the first thing we refer to as op-tempo money, which really having additional training dollars to make sure that soldiers as leaders and as units get the extra training time. Our base budget that comes to the Army Reserve from Congress is 39 training days a year. That's about what it was since World War II. You get 2 weeks of annual training and then 1 weekend of training a month. We need to significantly increase that level of training, particularly as a soldier or unit is getting ready to do a mission, whether it's downrange in support of combat operations or whether it's contingent missions.
I imagine the technology that is becoming baked into so many Army platforms and systems itself requires a lot of training. There might be an upgrade in between training weekends, and they'd have to learn software or something like that. So I imagine that's a big driver of that need for additional training.
Well, you're really talking about equipping and modernization, so I'm actually glad that you kind of bridged to that.
All right,
so
we'll
that's
go
great.
There.
So good job. On the equipping bridging scenario, so prior to 9/11, the Army Reserve was getting about 5.6% of the equipping modernization budget. Since 9/11, we've de facto become part of the operational force, and now our budget for equipping modernization is less than 3%. So you'd say, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. You're right, that doesn't make any sense. And so the whole Army is being challenged with readiness right now, but the Army Reserve is really challenged in terms of equipping and resourcing, and we're having some other challenges associated with readiness. But the good news is we're still able to attract and retain quality citizen soldiers.
Well, tell us a little bit in detail how that works, because that's an important question. If a reserve component is called into active duty, it could be anywhere from Afghanistan or maybe to Africa for the Ebola effort, which began and ended, or wherever it might be. Do the reservists use the equipment and platforms that are in place already for the Army that's there for the active duty, or do they carry their own to it?
Well, it depends. I mean, the short answer is if it's possible to have equipment there and you can fall in on that equipment regardless of what component you're from, then, of course, that makes sense and that's what the Army does. But often because they come from specialized units, they will bring their own equipment with them. I think the most important thing to understand is what's the differences between the three components of our great Army, our regular Army, our great Army National Guard, or the Army Reserve. The Army Reserve represents almost all the technical enablers for the total Army. So most of your doctors and nurses aren't in the regular Army. They're in the Army Reserve. 80% of your logisticians, Army Reserve. Good or bad, I'd argue good, 94% of all your lawyers and legal units in the Army Reserve. So if it requires hard technical skills, those capabilities are really no longer strongly evident and present in our Army and our Army National Guard. They're all in the Army Reserve. And it doesn't matter what your mission is, peacetime or war, you got to have those technical enablers. And that's why the Army Reserve demand signal is not going down.
So is your tougher argument to the Chief of Staff of the Army and the Secretary of the Army, or to the other 535 people down at the other end of the mall there?
Well, I haven't had a problem, I don't think, in messaging over across the river on the Hill. The Congress has been very supportive of the reserve components and recognizes tremendous value that the Guard and the Reserve play in serving service to the Army and the nation. I think the challenge is when the whole Army's budget has been cut to the degree that it has, and then you have the impacts of continuing resolution, that makes it very difficult for the Department of Army, to properly resource and support the Army Reserve as we support them.
And talking about the continuing resolution, are there some specific programs or items that you wanted to start or buy that you simply can't because we are under a CR?
The short answer is yes. So here's the way I look at it. You can correct me or somebody can call in and tell me that, no, it's not quite that way. But, again, I'm a citizen soldier, so I come from the private sector. So imagine if you're in the private sector and you do not have a budget for your company. Let's say Federal News Radio had no budget, and then at the last minute you're told we still don't have a budget, but we're going to do a continuing resolution to give you a temporary budget, could be piecemealed at last year's levels and not even the whole year. Could you figure it out and find a way to do something? Yes, because you'd have to. But is that an effective way to run a business or, in this case, to generate readiness to serve national security? Absolutely not. And so the real challenge we're having is continuing resolutions makes it incredibly difficult for the nation to provide readiness of our soldiers and our units to meet the needs of the nation. And the continuing resolution compounds what's already a difficult challenge, which is dealing with budget control and sequestration.
Now, we've been talking a lot of inside baseball Washington questions, which our listeners understand. Do you feel that that ongoing challenge, funding, continuing resolutions, and so on, does that manifest itself in the ability to recruit for the Army Reserves?
It does indirectly because soldiers, young men and women today, they want to join the Army that they hear about, that they read about, that they see on television. If you join the Army Reserve and we're not able to give you those great training opportunities and great mission sets at home and abroad because we don't have the cash, if you will, we have a cash flow issue, then you're not going to join. And if you do join, you're not going to stay. So we've got to make sure we provide a dynamic environment for you to take your civilian acquired skills and couple them with military skills and really do the best job you can for the nation. And that requires a certain amount of op-tempo money, which we do not currently have.
Now, in fiscal 2015, how did the reserves do with respect to the recruiting goals that it had?
Well, we had a, it depends on if you carve it up, we're doing pretty well on E1s to E4s. So we got plenty of privates and specialists, and we got plenty of lieutenants. It's really the mid-career NCOs and officers. So we're short on captains and, say, staff sergeants. So where we're trying to fill that gap is as the regular Army, Compo 1, draws down, we want those great men and women, combat leaders, to come into the Army Reserve and let us use our private-public partnership to help give you a civilian career, not a job, and continue to serve as a soldier for life. And we're having great success in bringing in, and particularly, captains from the regular Army into the Army Reserve.
Is it possible for someone at that career level who has not been in the Army to become a reservist, relatively later on in life, compared to when someone would join the Army ordinarily?
We do have people that join the Army Reserve a little later in life. I think that's true of the Army in general. But at the end of the day, we're doing very well on mid-career AC to RC, as we say, and we're very happy with the results. Now, we've put some incentive money there. So what I would tell you for anybody that's listening is if you have a technical skill and you want to come in the Army Reserve and help you serve the nation, both as a citizen and as a soldier, you need to give us a call.
And how is the receptivity of corporate America? I mean, that's sort of waxed and waned over the decades with respect to the Army Reserves. Are you finding a pretty good reception to having people away, possibly, leaving and holding their jobs when they come back?
Yeah, no problem whatsoever. So the Army Reserve started the Employers Partnership Program. It's now been replicated throughout all of the Department of Defense. We now have expanded to the private-public partnership. We have almost 7,000 private partners, Fortune 100 companies down to startups, and they all love and want to hire Army Reserve soldiers, and there's been no problem with commitment from them.
All right, so overall, your goal, besides getting the funding you need, what would you like to do with the reserves in 2016 and beyond?
Well, I think the most important thing we do is honor our commitment to the soldiers and their families by giving them the type of training and environment they need. So when we ask them to go into harm's way, we know that they'll be prepared.
Lieutenant General Jeffrey Talley is commander of the Army Reserve. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great day.